It is the Chills with Monolith there. Good morning. You tuned into 2SER Breakfast. I'm Marlene Even, keeping you company. Now, it is 7:15 on a Thursday morning, which means only one thing. It's time to look on the brighter side of life. And to do that, I'm joined by Sophie, our lovely producer, to chat about some good news that's happened this week. Good morning.
Hello, hello. How are we doing?
Very good. I'm looking forward to a bit of cheer.
Yes. Well, we've got a bit of an eclectic mix today. A bit of, yeah, a nice little mix of a few different special stories.
Okay.
So, let's dive in. Now, you might have heard this one this week. It's been around in the news. 11-year-old Dexter Kruger has become the oldest man in Australia.
Oh, yes. I think I've heard this one.
Yeah, good on you, Dexter. He told the ABC, though, a particularly peculiar tip to his longevity.
There is one thing he credits to his longevity.
Chicken brains. You know, chickens have a head. And in there, there's some brains. And they are delicious little things. There's only one little bite.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah,
chicken brains. Who would have thought? The way he describes them too, I just imagine some sort of like a little chicken nugget or like a little like popcorn chicken. He's like, just one little bite, just pop it in. Who knows? Maybe we should try it out. Bit of a don't worry. It's not the scones times two. I haven't brought in chicken brains to feed you. Don't you worry. So the manager at his nursing home said that he's one of the sharpest residents in their care and noted that his memory is particularly amazing for a 111-year-old. She is actually currently helping him write an autobiography all about his time as a centenarian. Dexter Kruger is one of the oldest. He's actually now become the oldest man on record to have lived in Australia. Now, whether he actually is the oldest man to have lived in Australia, we wouldn't be able to know. But on record, 111 years old, that's the oldest man we've ever had live here.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's put it all to chicken brains.
I know, all down to chicken brains. However, he's not the oldest Australian, full stop. That honour goes to Christina Cook, who passed away in 2002 at the sprightly age of 114.
Wow.
Like, that is some serious longevity. Like, she had a life. 114 years. That's a very long time to be alive.
That is. What else have you got for us?
Now, have you ever dreamed of living out your days in a castle surrounded by the sea, wandering the grounds mysteriously, maybe reading some books in some nooks and crannies in the stone walls? There might be, I don't know, a ball gown involved, maybe some sort of regal kilt get-up. No? Is that just me?
No, I definitely
think,
especially when it's come to everyone spending so much time at home with the whole lockdown, I think, you know, a nice big space would be nice.
Well, this dream could very well become a reality. St. Michael's Mount, which is a castle just off the coast of Cornwall in the UK, is looking for a new castle officer. The estate is looking for someone to stay at least 5 nights a week in the waterlocked castle off the coast. You'd need to have a hands-on approach, apparently, to the maintenance duties. And if you're partial to a bit of seasickness, you might want to think twice, as the island is only accessible by boat at high tide.
Wow.
Now,
very secluded.
I'm going to show you some pictures of the castle, and I want you to just give us a little bit of a mental picture.
I'll do my best. Oh, wow. Okay, so it is quite big. It's on a cliff face here, and you can see it is surrounded by the amazing ocean. Gosh, that must have amazing sea views.
Sea views from every single corner. 360 beautiful view of the sea. Looks like there's lots of little nooks and crannies. Like, it's a classic castle with like little turrets here and little things there. Now, it actually dates back to 1135.
Wow.
The castle has been there since 1135.
I think what's magical is, sorry, I'm now completely engaged in these photos, which isn't fair for you listeners, but there is this kind of pathway, this causeway, which meets the island and the mainland, but it's completely submerged during high tide. But it's this beautiful little stone pathway to it. It looks so magical.
It's very whimsical. Now, it's managed by the National Trust and St. Auburn Estates, which is the family who actually still live in the castle.
Wow.
To this day, the St. Auburn family. Now, Castle Stewart, current Castle Stewart, Duncan Murdoch, says it's not all rosy. He does warn that the worst thing about living there, can't get pizza delivery to your door.
Well, it would be quite a journey for that person.
Deliveroo, nah. Uber Eats, nah. Mm. You got to really plan ahead with your groceries because, you know, can't just on a whim, oh, Friday night, nothing in the fridge. Well, order dinner, no.
No.
It's going to be having to treacher through the seas in order to get to you.
Just grab a fishing rod. I mean, to be honest, I can't feel bad for them when I'm looking at this castle.
Yeah.
This
is... Marlene, what are you thinking? Career change? Like, is this your calling?
I don't know. Maybe I'm not trying to be a pessimist on our good news day.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to
do that.
But I would want to have a lot of friends because that's a big castle. You wouldn't want to be even 2-3 people. That's a lot of space.
Yeah. See, introverts dream, I reckon. If you're a bit of a lone wolf, why not apply? Be the St. Michael's Castle officer. Okay, bringing it home, one absolute kook of a story to round us out yet again. A group of 15 people spent 40 days in a French cave as part of a deep time experiment. The group spent 40 days and 40 nights underground in southwest France. They were deprived of natural sunlight completely. They had no clocks or any other kind of device to measure time. The crew of 15 had zero contact with the outside world. During this time, no coronavirus updates, no communication with family and friends, nothing. It was just the 15 of them down in this cave. Now, the expedition, which was run by the Human Adaptation Institute, was part of an experiment that's aimed at better understanding how humans adapt to drastic changes in living conditions and their like surroundings, their environment.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but living in a cave for 40 days, that sounds pretty drastic to me. They look really taking it as far as they can. Actually, listening to the description of the experiment, though, maybe it's not so far off my like final university exam experience. 40 days, 40 nights, no outside contact, just locked down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole different version of airplane mode. But it is good news. So tell me, what is the good news about being in a cave for 40 days?
Well, along with a bunch of other variables, they wanted to see how people could estimate and track time in these kinds of conditions. Turned out not that well. On the day that the group emerged out of the cage, it wasn't a cage, I promise, it was a cave.
A cave, okay. When
they weren't kept in a cage, I'm sorry. It was a cave.
Yes.
The director of the project said that most of the participants, 2/3 of them, actually thought it had only been 30 days since they entered the cave. Now, I don't know, 30 days, 40 days, it doesn't sound like much, but imagine just losing 10 days of your life. Like 10 days just goes past without you even knowing.
I'm failing to see the good part in this good
news. Okay, well, maybe it might not be good, but it's very interesting.
Yes.
So basically, when they emerged, there was a smaller group of them, about 3 or 4 of them, who actually wanted to continue with the project.
Wow.
Yeah, they had like adjusted to being in this cave so much that they wanted to continue being down there, which I was very confused. I was like, why would you want to keep going? Mm. Why would you want to still be like, you know, completely deprived of sunlight and everything? Apparently it was because they wanted to finish some of the projects that they had started while they were down there.
Maybe they just wanted peace and quiet.
Yeah, which to me, I'm like, what were they doing? I think maybe it was like some sort of 40-day Monopoly game. Or like Settlers of Catan got really, really spicy and they just needed to finish it. But, you know, it does really speak to, you know, the triumph of like making connections in a forced environment, because these people wanted to spend even more time together after being
okay
40 days and 40 nights that together and they still were like, no, we got to finish our projects. Like, I think that speaks to the triumph of the human spirit.
Yeah, I'll take that as the good part of this story. Amazing stuff. You always bring wilder stories each and every week. Sophie, thank you for joining us.